Here's Bregman into left center field. Back at the wall and gone. Forget the tie. It's 6-5. Bregman through his manager. Here's Springer into right center field at the wall. That is gone. 7-5 AL.
People obviously knew Alex Bregman. The guy was the number two pick 3 years ago. With the way that he's played the first half of the season, being an all-star, winning the MVP, and giving Kyle Schwarber a run on Monday night in the Home Run Derby, he has become a genuine star in this sport. He has become, over the course of these few months, a legitimate star.
Say it some more.
Mad Radio.
Oh, I thought you were going to...
Good morning.
That. There was a pregnant pause after that word.
Because every time I said that in the 6 o'clock hour, I got no reaction.
We've just waited.
I don't. Okay, just real quick. Let's play that as a game.
Yes.
What reaction were you expecting out of you saying, like, because you said it very emphatically. He is a star, and then you say it twice. He is a star. Like, am I supposed to argue against that? I guess so we could say, like, okay,
add
he's
your
a star.
Thoughts.
He's a star by baseball.
Your perspective.
He's a star. No. You have a way of saying it in such a way that it's kind of like there can be no response
a
after
star.
This.
Like,
you're a legitimate like, star.
2 + 2 = 4. Okay, great. It's yes, I agree.
A
it
legitimate star.
Oh, okay, you know what, though? I will argue. I'll play devil's advocate here and say, one, okay, we've had this conversation before about how Mike Trout should be the biggest star in baseball, and he is, technically. He's the best player in baseball, but he's not all that big a star.
He's not a huge star.
So how big of a star can you be in baseball, given it's such a regional sport? But then I guess, too, I don't want to jump the gun here and act like, wow, Bregman's been really awesome these last couple months, and he's had some huge key clutch moments, but is it getting ahead of yourself to say he's a genuine star before he does it for a couple or 3 years? You know, where we, and it is 2 years in a row now that we've been very, very happy with Bregman.
I think you'd have to compare him to Altuve and say, at what point did Altuve get talked about in the national baseball circle as one of the best players in the game?
Because 2 years ago.
I think there was resistance to putting him in the same category as a Mike Trout type, probably as recently as last year, at the very least at the beginning of the season, until we realized that, wow, Altuve's been hitting like 340 for 4 years in a row and leading the American League in hits and led the American League in stolen bases twice over that stretch.
Right, because you don't want to, like, let's remember too, this is the All-Star Game MVP. This isn't, it's not MVP of the league. It's All-Star Game MVP.
Yep.
There, I without having the list in front of me, I'm guessing there's going to be quite a few guys on that list who weren't bona fide stars.
You know what? I'm going to do that. Let's go through that
here
real quick.
Major, okay.
All right, I've got it. Let's figure out, are these guys stars or not? So Bregman,
a
legitimate star.
Okay, I'll go back. Robinson Cano, star.
Yep.
Eric Hosmer.
Close, but I wouldn't
say
yes.
Not a star.
Mike Trout, star. Mike Trout, star. Mariano Rivera, star. Melky Cabrera.
Wait.
Not a star.
How many of these guys are playing? What's going on here?
Well, Melky's still kind of playing.
He's still playing?
Yeah, he's still solid.
This is the All-Star Game Most Valuable Player Award.
Oh, most MVP awards. My bad.
Time.
Okay. Yep, thank you.
Let me double check this. Yeah, Major League Baseball All-Star Game Most Valuable Award. Melky Cabrera, Prince Fielder, star. Carl Crawford.
No.
He was almost a star, close. And then he flubbed in Boston and Los Angeles.
This is going to be ticklish. Choose your words carefully before I say this one. Brian McCann.
Not a star.
Not a star. No, it was like, yeah, not a star.
Not a star.
Miguel Tejada.
Yeah, he was a star.
Yeah, I would say yes. I'm going to go with yes.
Ichiro
on that
Suzuki, star. Big star.
Yep.
J.D. Drew.
Not a star. Very
reviled.
you can be a star and be reviled, but not.
He was known as he's. Hey, if I'm 99%, I'm not playing, and a lot of baseball people hated him.
You can't be hated by your own fan base and also be a star.
Incredibly talented, but yes, one of the more loathed players I can remember in baseball for really no great reason other than he just didn't play every game.
Don't let your Arlington Ranger bias get you on this one, but Michael Young.
Not a star.
Not a star at all. Alfonso Soriano.
Star.
Garrett Anderson.
You think Soriano was a star?
I think Alfonso Soriano had a little stretch when he was with the Yankees where he was part of that team, and he, by nature of being part of that team, was one of the more recognizable names in baseball. I mean, I can still think of Alfonso Soriano's name off the top of my head. I feel like there's at least some staying power to that.
I'll say then, though, I honestly, I'm a little bit surprised. I thought there'd be more kind of some darlings in here, the guys that came up big, guys that were like one-time All-Stars that came up big in a given game. So this does bode well for Alex Bregman's future stardom. To be the Major League All-Star Game MVP is kind of it's rarefied air.
I was actually off on Altuve. I would say he started becoming into the national consciousness as a star in 2014 when he was an All-Star for the second time, and he led the American League hitting .341. I would say right around there, and then they got to the playoffs the following year. Like, that window is when he became a star.
I think 2016 is where people started recognizing him as one of the better players.
One
of
the best players.
But I still think that there was a dismissal of him as the idea of him as an MVP.
Early,
he was a novelty. Like, I think a lot of people figured, like, oh, isn't he cute? He's just like, he's like a scrappy little chihuahua or one of these small dogs that yips a lot. Yeah.
To keep this thing going, because Bregman has had a really awesome late 2017 and early 2018.
Last calendar year.
Right. But, okay, now compare him with George Springer, who also played really well in the All-Star game, had an MVP caliber season for a long stretch of 2017. And on top of that, George Springer had a better, statistically, All-Star game than Alex Bregman. Is George Springer or Alex Bregman the bigger star?
Alex Bregman's the bigger star.
Alex Bregman. Is it? George Springer. Okay, let's think about
World Series MVP.
Yeah, World Series MVP for George Springer versus. But Bregman had so many clutch moments in the playoffs and in the.
It's weird.
I think in the minds of the public of a non-Houston fan,
I would say right now definitely Bregman is higher up than Springer, but Springer's, I don't think there's that big of a difference.
Springer's a better dugout dancer.
He's a better dancer.
But Bregman now has that stare. The stare might be more contagious than the dugout dancer.
Think about all the great catches that Springer has as highlights as well.
That's
too
true.
Think of him as a fielder? Springer's got web gems.
He threw out Bird.
Maybe it's a Q rating thing. Don't you guys feel like the Q rating, maybe there's a recency effect here that Bregman's Q rating right now is higher than Springer's?
But that's like asking in the middle of the season when they do those quarterback polls, like, who's the best quarterback in the league? And like, in one week, I can just remember the year I noticed this. It was Mike Vick when he was having one of his comeback seasons. And it was like, one week it would be Mike Vick, then the next week it would be Tom Brady, and Mike Vick would be like 15th best quarterback. Yep. Yeah, in the mind of the psyche, it's going to fluctuate a lot. So you're asking me right this moment where Bregman just won the All-Star Game MVP and he's been on an incredible tear, and George Springer had a good All-Star Game, but he also was on a huge slump. Yeah.
Right.
So, of course, right this moment, Alex Bregman.
I think Bregman's a better player. He's a better player because he's more consistent at the plate. Defensively, they're hard to judge because Springer is a really good defensive player at a position, obviously, of pretty good value, center field and right field. I don't know. I would need to look at how much Springer spends in each spot. But Bregman is a tremendous defensive third baseman, better than I expected him to be in that spot. Like, I think he's almost a genuine star third base, even though I don't know if the stats quite back that up.
A genuine star. What's the difference between genuine and legitimate star?
Genuine is, it's, I don't know. It makes sense in my mind, Paul. What are you going to tell you? Bregman is a better player to me because I think they're relative equals defensively. They're both very good, but Bregman's a more consistent gap-to-gap hitter who doesn't go through slumps like Springer does.
There's a purity to his swing. I think when you look at him as a defensive player, that's where it's hard. Who's a better defensive player, Springer in the outfield or Bregman?
I would say Springer in the outfield. And I like Bregman as a defensive third baseman, but I think Springer's your best defender.
I guess because Springer starts in center field so often, if they're equal, then you'd probably go with George because he starts in center field, which is historically more valuable than third base.
If they think off the top of your head, notable catches by Springer in the outfield this year versus cross-body throws from beyond the foul line for Bregman, because he's had a good chunk of them too. Are you going to go with Springer still? Not by total defensive ability, but just by those notable plays.
Based on value of position, I will
go. No. I just said just based on those alone.
Just based on
number of impressive plays.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't have an answer for you. I don't have an answer. I should have an answer.
I want to say it's Bregman this season. Yeah, you know, obviously for career Springer, but Bregman this season.
Definitely for this year, it's Bregman. And a texter says, did I hear the commentators last night mention Bregman being talked about in trade talks a couple of years ago? Was that an actual rumor, or was that just something that people like us brought up because of our friend Alan Huntley, or because of, well looking at what the Astros needed at the trade deadline and thinking that this might be the guy that gets the biggest return on investment?
I remember my friend Jason was in here, and he calls games for the White Sox, and we had him in studio when the White Sox were in town 2 years ago. And we talked about trading for Chris Sale, and he acted like Alex Bregman was not good enough compensation for Chris Sale. So it was talked about, but I don't know. I think Luno said everybody's asking about Bregman, but I don't think they were going to trade him.
One of our listeners says, I love Bregman, but we can't act like him doing all this is a surprise. He was the top prospect in all of baseball and the second overall pick. Yeah, you should be surprised whenever the top prospect or anybody highly rated does anything. Like, there's always room for surprise. Like, it's not, and Bregman was not talked about in the same hollowed tones that Carlos Correa was talked about. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Like, I don't think that there was a sense of Correa being the chosen one.
Yes.
Where Bregman, it's been a much more scrappy affair, I think. And it's not necessarily been that people looked at him and were like, well, yes, he'll be the next great one in this game. So I'll still give him credit, despite being a top prospect and whatnot. I think this, if he sustains this level, it's still above and beyond where a lot of people would have reasonably predicted. You can't predict a guy's going to be a top 10 player.
I want to squeeze in one thing real quick. All right. So we are going to discuss in the 9 o'clock hour how ESPN ranked the Texans in the next 3 years. They did a feature where they basically took all 32 teams and said, how good are they going to be in the next 3 years? They had the Texans at number 15. But due to time, we'll discuss that in the 9 o'clock hour. They put them 15, so we will debate that. Another thing that has gone down this morning, if you guys missed this, and now it seems like this is official. The Spurs are trading Kawhi Leonard to the Toronto Raptors. They're trading Kawhi to the Raptors. It's Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green in exchange for DeMar DeRozan. I think it's pronounced Jakob Pettle, and a protected 2019 first-round pick.
That's the agreement in principle.
Yeah, it seems like this is happening.
It's not official yet, but okay.
This seems these latest updates, Seth, it seems like this is actually happening, and it'll be made like 100% official with the league conference call.
Can't believe they lost Yadis Pettle.
Yes, Jakob Pettle. I don't love
Jakob
this
with a J?
Jakob with a J.
How would you know to pronounce it Jakob instead of Jacob?
Because I've watched them play and I think they pronounce it Jakob.
Okay. Yeah. You acted like you'd never seen it before or something.
Parents should be fired for poor spelling.
You think it should be spelled with a Y, Jakob?
Yes, if it's Jakob, to do it with a Y. Like that kid's going. That's going to be a tough life. He's in class, and they're going to say, "Jakob, come to the class." Actually, it's Jakob. Like that's not going to go over well. The teachers are going to forget. Hate it.
I don't love this return for the Spurs. If I'm trading a blue chip player who doesn't want to play for my organization anymore, doesn't want to play in my city, then I want to get a young guy who I think can develop into a star. You can say DeMar DeRozan's a star, but he's 28 years old and he's somebody who's a bad three-point shooter, and you could easily argue, and I would, that DeMar DeRozan has maxed out as a player. And they also traded Danny Green, who's a nice player, by the way. And I think with this trade, if Kawhi is engaged this season, the Raptors are a team that could win the Eastern Conference. I don't love this return for San Antonio. That's my read. If I'm doing a talk show in San Antonio this morning, I would say this. What are we doing with DeMar DeRozan? That would be my big take. What are we doing with DeMar DeRozan and a protected pick that isn't even going to be that good in a year? All right, fair enough. We have Matt takes.
Are we going to break or what? Like, what are we doing this?
We actually could break at 37, but that's okay.
I would love people to tell me this stuff. Like, half the time I'm going to yell at for not going to break soon
enough. You're
fine. The other half of the time is like, what are you doing? We're just going silent here.
I'm not going to lie. I got distracted because I saw a story.
I thought we were going to break.
I saw a story.
Okay, what's the story?
Family Cup Police. Northwest Houston's had a crazy couple of days with the serial killer on the loose. Apparently yesterday, a man was discovered on the roof of a house with a machete. Just on the roof of the house.
Doing what?
Just standing on the roof with a machete.
Wait, what's wrong with that? I could go do that this afternoon.
Family told police.
No, seriously, I could. What?
They woke up to strange noises and thought it would be an animal.
Oh, it wasn't his
in
house.
The attic or the roof of their home.
That's a different story.
And it was a guy with a machete, so they tased him and they arrested him. Good God, it's
terrifying. I thought
he
was on his own roof. I was like, what the hell, police state?
Okay, now it makes sense.
People with their
machetes. Now I get it.
Home?
This is why 290 is so terrible. So you don't go to Northwest Houston where all this crazy stuff goes
down.
Was
290 where that naked lady was on the semi? You remember that a few years ago?
I think that was more recent. I think that was like last year.
Cypress, what are you guys doing?